Matthew 2, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "And they said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, For thus is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Let's pray. Father, we do pray for this passage of Scripture, one a wonderful, wonderful passage, beginning of verse 1 all the way down through verse number 13. So, Father, I pray that you would be a help to me this evening as we just touch on this thought of the wise man who missed the Savior. So, Father, I pray that your will be done in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. We're all familiar with the story of the wise men, how they followed the star from the east, probably coming from Persia. They brought gifts of gold, which represent the deity of Christ. They brought gifts of frankincense, which speaks of Christ's work as the high priest, and then gifts of myrrh, which speaks of his atoning death for you and I on the cross of Calvary. We know the story how they first went to Jerusalem, and then they went to King Herod, and from there they went on to Bethlehem. But there was a group of wise men who did not go to Bethlehem. You might be saying, "Well, Pastor Dave, who was that? I thought the wise men from the east went to Bethlehem." Yes, they did, but there was another group of wise men who did not go to Bethlehem. Herod called these men together to actually advise him about the birth of the king. Look at verse number 4. "And they gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born." So literally, we could say this, that King Herod gathered the priests, gathered the scribes together, and temporarily used them as the wise men to give him some answers. So these wise men missed the Savior. And that's what I want to speak about for just a minute or two this evening. In verse number 5, I want you to notice they knew the location, but they did not believe the Lord had come. Look in verse number 5. The Bible said, when they were asked, "Where is this King of the Jew born?" They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea." You see, they knew the location of where this king was going to be born, but they missed the incarnation. They knew it in their head, but they didn't travel to where he was being born. And from that point on, we know that they doubted the deity of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe from the day he was born that he actually was the Son of God, although he was prophesied. And they quoted prophecy to tell the wise men from the east where Jesus Christ was at, yet still they did not believe him. And we could even say this, there would be a thorn in his side, and then literally on his crucifixion day, they would help him put a crown of thorns on his head. So they were a thorn in Christ's side all his life, and then they were literally allowed a crown of thorns to be placed upon his head. And there's many people just like that today in the world that we live in today. They give Jesus credit for being a great man. And you could go around and ask people, "Is Jesus a good man?" "Oh, yeah, he was a good man. What did he do?" Well, they know he raised people from the dead. They know he fed the 5,000. They know pretty much he walked on water. They know that he healed the deaf people, healed the lame, and worked great miracles. They'll know that, and they'll say, "Yeah, he was a good man." And some will even assent to this fact. And they'll claim that he was a great teacher. They said, "Oh, yeah, he was a great teacher. Thousands and crowds followed him wherever he went. He's very articulate in what he said." And in fact, they even wrote down a lot of things of what he said. Some would even say, they talk about his wonderful philosophy of life. And they would look at some of the sayings of Christ and look at his doctrine that he taught. And they would say, "Boy, he had some wonderful philosophies of life. And he would teach us to do unto others as we would have ourselves be done unto." They would say, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He had some good philosophies. And they would give you that mental assent. And they say pretty much he was a good man. And some would even say, "Well, yeah, he was a good man. And he could speak. And he was a good teacher. And he had good philosophy." And some might even say this, "I believe he was a prophet." They would say he's a prophet from God. And he might even go one step farther and even say that. But guess what? All those things stop short of just one thing. And that's the most important thing. And that simply is they stop short of the salvation that Jesus Christ has provided for you and I. And I'm reminded of the Philippian jailer in Acts 16 and verse 31 where it talks about we need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, when speaking to the Philippian jailer. And so all these, you'll find people all over the world today, just like those wise men, those scribes and those Pharisees that knew about Christ, but didn't believe the Lord had actually come and he really was the Christ child. And then in verse number 6, we find something else about these wise men who missed the Savior. They knew the scriptures, but they did not find the Savior. So when asked this question, they knew what to do. I mean, they at least had that part right, didn't they? They went to the Bible. They went to the Scriptures. They went to see what the Scriptures had to say. And so they were very acquainted with Micah 5 in verse number 2, which gives us the prophecy of where Jesus Christ was going to be born at. They found the biblical answer, but guess what? They didn't apply it to their lives. Let me just stop right here and say, boy, oh me, oh my, isn't that us? And it contained in this book is the biblical answer to any problem we have. It's right there for us. And we might even know the location. We might know the location is Micah 5:2 or Philippians 4 and verse 13 or Philippians 4 verse 16 or Romans 8 or verse 28. We might not know where it is, but listen, if we don't go there and we don't apply it to our life, guess what? We're not going to do ourselves any good. Just being acquainted with this book of answers is not good enough. We have to apply it to our life. You can know a great deal about the Bible and still be lost. You can know a great deal about the Bible and still live a miserable life because you're not applying these great truths to your own life. You cannot be saved by just knowing the Christmas story. Cannot be have a good life of peace and joy just by reading the Christmas story. You have to apply the truths of Jesus Christ and God's Word to our life. Well, these wise men, they knew the location but didn't believe the Lord has come. And they knew the Scriptures, but they didn't find the Savior. And notice lastly in verse number 6, they knew Christ would rule but would not let them rule them. They knew Christ would rule but would not let Him rule them. Look, notice in verse number 6, a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You see, the scribes and the Pharisees, they understood the Old Testament law. They knew, they probably knew the law and the Scriptures better than you and I know the totality of the Word of God. That's what they lived to do for, to study and work and know the minute things of the Word of God. See, the plan of God was unfolding very swiftly in front of them. Think about it. It was a time of great prophetic fulfillment. All those things that have been prophesied in the Old Testament were now coming true. That, think about the angels. Think about the taxing, all those things that were prophesied about, the birth in Bethlehem. How about the wise men arriving from the east? It was a prophecy was swiftly unfolding, but yet they missed it. See, today, many people today see the prophecy that's already been fulfilled as we look back on it, but do not act upon it. And again, we are just like them if we don't do that. You see, the wise men quoted the Bible, quoted the Old Testament passages, but did not act on the passage. And so they knew Christ would rule one day, but they wouldn't let Him rule their own heart. And if I leave anything with it tonight, it's simply this. Would you let Christ rule in your heart? We're beginning to, a new year is vastly, quickly approaching us. And I pray that if you don't let Christ rule in your heart and life this year, that you'll make a point of it next year to let Him rule and reign deep inside your heart. Well, I thought about this. Why did the other wise men not hurry to Bethlehem to find Christ? I mean, if you think about it, they had the prophecy, but they didn't act upon it. So they knew about it, but they didn't recognize that Jesus Christ was God's Son. But then here comes three wise men from the east, from the Persia, coming there. Don't you think it would have sparked some interest in them? Don't you think they knew the Scripture? Don't you think they might have put one and one together to get two? And even if they didn't, wouldn't you say, well, I don't know if this is the Christ. I don't believe this to be the Christ, but you know what? We better get over there and check it out. I think there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, they feared the loss of favor with Herod. Remember, Herod was mad, and he told them, you know the rest of the story. He said, when you come back, just stop by here and let me know. But they were warned not to go back because Herod was wanted to kill Christ. And so sometimes that we don't hurry to find Christ. We don't hurry to get where we need to be because we fear we're losing favor with our boss or with our workmate or our spouses. And I think they feared the loss of favor with Herod. I think maybe too, as soon as they heard it and the wise men came, they quickly fall back into their routines. And just as quick as Christmas comes, Christmas is going to go, January 1st is going to come, and our point this Christmas is for us really to fall in love with the Savior again. That's why we're reading that story over and over again. so that we can really fall in love with the Lord. And too quickly, after the Christmas season, you're going to fall back into your routine. You're going to forget about the birth of Christ, which led to his death and his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And then thirdly, they may have thought the risk was too great if the rumor was false. You know what, I witness to people sometimes, and sometimes I say this, and they say, well, I don't know if it be true. I don't know if what you say about heaven is hell is true. And so I sometimes say this. I said, well, just suppose you were right, and we die, and there's nothing there. I get laid out, as the Bible says, the skin worms eat me up, and I'm gone. Now I'm just in the dust. You know what? The worst thing people are going to say about me is, well, that David Carroll, boy, he really tried to live for Jesus Christ. And he was a pretty good guy because he lived for the Lord and, you know, tried to do things according to the Bible. That's the worst they're going to say about me, right? Oh, yes, sir, that's probably true. I said, now think about this. What if the opposite is true? What if I say is true and what you believe is not true? Then that means immediately upon your death, you're going to die and go to Christ's hell. Will you spend an eternity in hell? Literally, not in hell, but you'll be in hell for a period of time, then brought back up again, judged and sent to eternal lake of fire, where you'll spend all eternity in eternal lake of fire. And I said, if you think about that, there's not much risk factor in that, is there? And so I think that they may have thought the risk factor was too much. And by going there, even if it turned out to be not true, they would look to be dumb. They looked to be stupid that they were trying to follow a false Messiah. But I'll close with this thought. Wise men today risk it all to seek and find and serve the Savior. Let's pray. Father,